Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kingdom Barker. As a nation, are we spending too little on where it matters the most? Raising of America, a new and compelling documentary special, seeks to spark a national conversation about how conditions faced by children and families during infancy and early years can literally alter the developing brain and affect a child's future success, both in school and in life. Today, my guests will discuss how the growing squeeze on parents for time, money, and resources impacts the future mental and physical well-being on our children, the consequences for our nation, and best of all, how might we do it better. I'm joined today by Wendy Wendt, Executive Director for First Five, San Luis Obispo Children and Family Commission, Margaret Kinzinger-Klopfer, Youth Services Coordinator, Librarian for San Luis Obispo County Library System, and Melinda Sokolowski, Family Support Services Division Manager for Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County and First Five SLO County Commissioner. Our show today is live, and you can join the conversation with your comments and questions by calling in at 781-3875. Again, the number to call in, and we'd love to hear from you, is 781-3875. And Wendy, I'm going to start with you today. This is kind of, you know, a while back we did do a show with First Five, and we were talking about something that was new at that time that came to San Luis Obispo County. Why don't you kind of take it from there?
Sure, Chris, I'd be happy to. What you're referring to is the Children's Bill of Rights for San Luis Obispo County. It was brought into life about 2 years ago, and it's been endorsed at this point by close to 50 organizations and individuals around the county. And it really kick-started or certainly continued a conversation about the importance of investing in and supporting our children as the members of this community. They're the residents who live amongst us who don't vote. They don't necessarily have their own voice, and it's up to us as the adults to support them and nurture them as they grow towards adulthood. So that Children's Bill of Rights was a wonderful way to bring the community together and galvanize us around that conversation.
So. When I talked with my first two guests on that show about the Bill of Rights, it really was kind of laying out what really made sense about a bill for children, a bill of rights for children, or statements about the well-being and how to support them. But where we kind of left off is, okay, now that this is written down, what do we do about
what
it?
What do we do now? Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what's pretty extraordinary and I find encouraging is that this question is specifically around early childhood, which is the focus of First Five, children and families during the first years of life, is that it's become a national conversation with growing momentum and growing loudness across the country. And it's being discussed in the context of a new documentary film series, which is what we're here today to talk about, called The Raising of America, Early Childhood and the Future of Our Nation. And so it gives us in San Luis Obispo County a public way to continue the conversation, both in terms of our local commitment to early childhood and also what's going on at the national level.
Well, and Margaret, talk a little bit about how your organization plays into this, not only the viewing of this, but kind of in the continuum.
Okay, that's a great question. Well, my name is Margaret Kinzinger-Klopfer, and I am with the San Luis Obispo County Library. And we are an endorser of the Children's Bill of Rights. But also for a lot of families, we're kind of the first contact point for community connection and involvement. A lot of young families with young children do use the public library for story times and also for resources. But also the library is kind of a natural forum for community dialogue, community connections. We are in 15 different locations throughout the community of San Luis Obispo County. And also we're really an unbiased location for people to have these sorts of dialogues.
Okay, fantastic. And for you, Melinda,
yes,
your organization and how that plays a role.
Well, our organization is a nonprofit, Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, and we're part of a nationwide group of community actions. And our specific agency is dedicated to providing early care and learning opportunities to a variety of parents and families. We also have a lot of child abuse prevention activities that we're doing and offering for families. And we're always very committed and interested to any public policy or any opportunity to have the community come out and use their voice and be the voice for the young children in our area.
Now, the film series that you're here to talk about. Talk a little bit about that, Wendy.
Sure. Raising of America, Early Childhood and the Future of Our Nation is has been produced for eventual viewing on the national stage through PBS stations nationwide. But up until that point, it's being used, and the episodes, there are five episodes in the series, to really spark community conversations across the country. To date, as far as we know, there are close to 170 screenings everywhere from Minnesota, Louisiana, Alaska, Washington, Michigan. Those are just a few of the communities I remember.
And by the screenings, you're talking about what we're going to be doing here in San Luis County.
Exactly. Now, there are five episodes in the documentary series. Each one focuses on how a strong start for our kids can lead to a healthier, more prosperous, and more equitable America. So it's a real question about equality and also return on investment. There's a lot of discussion in all of the episodes of the film about why it's a smart economic decision to invest in early childhood, both for families and their ability to continue to thrive and be good wage earners and great parents, and also for children to be able to have a strong start during their first years of life, and then that extending all throughout their lives.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, for this particular film screening and community discussion forums that we're offering, we're focusing on one of the episodes. We decided to show the same episode in all five communities so that we could kind of have a common dialogue about this issue. The episode was called "Are We Crazy About Our Kids?" And what it focuses on is the dollar-for-dollar return on investment for early childhood, and how the importance of putting money and time and effort into families with young children and the young children themselves results in a better community and a healthier community.
Okay, that's great to know. And then there is a panel discussion around this. So can you talk a little bit about the kind of community experts that would be involved in the panels?
Yes, at each screening, we want the community to be encouraged to bring their thoughts forward and have a real open, honest discussion about what they see in their region, because it does vary region to region in our county, our large county. We will have representatives from government, first five commissioners, as well as leaders in family support services and representatives from nonprofits who are service providers to many families in our area. But we're hoping and encouraging that it is about the screening of the film, but also about the community speaking up about what they see the true needs are of their area.
And in the specific communities, is this then a stepping point for people to say, we don't have enough of this? This is an area that's been identified in this film as a level of importance, and we're really weak in that area?
Yeah, I think it's not just the opportunity for people from these communities to say that we don't have enough of something, but also to open the eyes of people who may not be aware of this, that there are all of these needs in every community. Every part of San Luis Obispo County has needs for children in these early stages of life. And so we don't just want to have people come and bring their concerns, but also to become more aware of the opportunities to improve their community by investing in these young children.
And can you give some examples when you watched this series? Did anything really pop out for you that was either stunning for you or something that you thought, boy, this is really important?
Well, I think one of the things that really popped out for me is the amount of time that people have been aware of the importance of investing in young children. A lot of studies within the United States go back to the 1960s, the 1970s. They've done longitudinal studies that have really followed the return on investment in early childhood care, in supporting young children and families, and really followed children who were able to benefit from this investment over 10, 20, 30, now 40 years and seeing the long-term effects of the long-term positive effects of investing in young children, and that we've had this knowledge for so long but are only beginning to talk about this on a national level.
When we talk about long-term investment, not everybody will understand that terminology,
right.
Especially when it's related to children.
Right. So one of the projects that's profiled in the episode that we're going to be showing in these five communities is a project that came out of Ypsilanti, Michigan, starting in the 1960s, called the Perry Preschools. And it was a very intensive, quite expensive preschool model. But what has been able to happen over the years is this longitudinal study that Margaret refers to see what happened to those children and their parents as a result of this high-quality childcare experience. And what was discovered is that this group compared to – it was a controlled study, so there was a control group and a treatment group. Those who participated had a significant decrease in first-grade retention. In other words, not being retained in first grade,
right.
A decrease in reliance on special ed services, an increase in literacy, an increase in graduation rates, wages earned, taxes paid, and decrease in crime. And so there are a number of nationally ranked economists. Heckman is one that people know quite well out of the University of Chicago, and several others who studied this Perry preschool did conducted the analysis on all of these factors and determined that somewhere between $7 to $16 was the return on investment from the initial costs incurred on the program over the lives of these young people. So, and it's not just the children, it's also their parents. The value of a quality early childhood experience, childcare experience, allows parents to go to work and continue earning wages and pay taxes into the
system.
Now,
in the Perry Project, was that a program that was accessible to all different socioeconomic level children? Was it in a specific area?
This was this particular project that was studied by Heckman and others was targeted to low-income children in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So their prospects were not good, and this project really showed the value of this sort of investment in these young children's lives.
Of bringing in interested teachers and giving them the resources.
And engaging families in the education of their children. It's really that family engagement piece is so important as well.
And we have federally funded programs, you know, nationwide. Head Start is one. We know Head Start works, but one of the reasons it works is because it's a holistic program that embraces the entire family, not just the child in a child care situation. It is about early learning, but it is also about the child's health, mental health, well-being, social, emotional experience, and the parents are a direct role and a direct partner in assisting that child's growth.
And through the Head Start program, you focus a lot on parent education
well.
So the parents and the children are kind of learning simultaneously.
Yes.
I had a show here where we were discussing even environmental health or nutrition.
Yeah.
And that it's not just about the parents learning what's better for the children, but also children learning about what's better to eat and how to work collaboratively.
Mm-hmm. And it's important because we're reaching families earlier. We have an early Head Start program, which is prenatal to 3 years of age. And that, to me, is what really resonates. Reaching families earlier and in a better way, and in a more well-rounded way before they get to kindergarten. Because oftentimes, children are left somewhat isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And finding, you know, doing interventions earlier, identifying any developmental delays, providing a better, well-rounded home environment earlier is the better way to operate.
Do we have a lot of resources here in the county that people just don't know about and don't know how to access?
Related to early care?
Mm-hmm.
We are doing fairly well. We have over 7,000 slots for early care and education. We have a pretty steady base of licensed child care facilities. We have center-based options. We have 107 licensed facilities in our community. And then we have a large group of family family child care homes, which are licensed facilities to care for children. So we have a base, but we do have a gap. We know that children 0 to 12, there are more than 23,000 children in our community that have parents in the workforce. So we are constantly working to hang on to the child care providers we have. Retention is a big commitment of the commission mm-hmm. and many early care providers. We need to retain those providers because they are trained. They're educated in providing early care, and sometimes opening a small business as a family child care provider is hard to maintain and move forward. So,
yeah. Wendy?
I wanted to add to what Melinda was saying. In our work with First Five and other of our partners around the county, three areas that I hear consistently are gaps in the way we're able to provide our families with quality child care. First of all, in the infant toddler world, that's a really tough thing to be able to fulfill the needs of families for infant toddler care.
To find
the parents,
child care.
To find good quality mm-hmm. child care for families who need to go back mm-hmm. to work. Mm-hmm. So that's the first. The second mm-hmm. is full day options across the 0 to 5 spectrum.
Right.
We have preschools, but a lot of parents work full time, and that's a real challenge across the county.
And how to get those children from a preschool to an after school program.
That's right.
Yeah.
The other challenge is for families who don't quite qualify mm-hmm. because their income is just a little bit too high for mm-hmm. the subsidized programs like Head Start.
But not high enough.
There's a statistic in one of the episodes of this series that talks about child care costing up to $12,000 a year. There's one woman quoted in one of the episodes who says, "I spend more on child care than I do on my mortgage."
Yeah.
And so clearly that is a real problem for families who are trying to make ends meet, who don't quite qualify and really need to find child care.
And something else I think that's a problem in this community also is that a lot of the employment opportunities are in the tourist industry. You're thinking restaurants, you're thinking hotels. People work nights, they work weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of opportunity for child mm-hmm. care for people who work these non-traditional hours.
Yeah, and there are a lot of non-traditional hours. It's not, no longer can you count on a job that's 8 to 5 and just Monday through Friday. If you just joined us on Central Coast Voices here on KCBX Public Radio, my guests are Wendy Wendt, Executive Director for First Five San Luis Obispo County Children and Family Commission, Margaret Kinzinger-Klopfer, who is the Youth Services Coordinator Librarian for the San Luis Obispo County Library System, and Melinda Sokolowski, Family Support Service Division Manager for Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County and First Five SLO County. We're talking about the Raising of America, Early Childhood, and the Future of Our Nation, a series that's going to be coming to PBS, but before that, it's going to be coming to the community. And we welcome you to join today's discussion with your comments and questions by calling us at 781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875.
So I'd like to take this opportunity just to talk about when and where these film screenings and community mm-hmm. discussions will
Good.
Be taking place. Libraries throughout San Luis Obispo County will be hosting, again, this film screening of Are We Crazy About Our Kids? Part of this Raising of America, Early Childhood, and the Future of Our Nation series. The first screening will be on Tuesday, October 6th. At 5 p.m. at the Los Sosos Library, followed by Tuesday, October 13th at 5 p.m. at the Napomo Library, and that will also be featuring Spanish translation for community members. Thursday, October 22nd, 6:30 p.m. at the New Atascadero Library, which if you haven't been to, is beautiful.
That's
just
lovely.
A little plug there. Paso Robles City Library, which is not a part of the county library, is partnering with us mm-hmm. for this film series, which we're excited about. They'll be hosting a screening Thursday, November 5th at 6:30 p.m. Each of these is followed by community discussion. Pastor Robles will also be featuring Spanish translation for community members. And then the final film screening and community discussion will be Wednesday, November 18th at 5 p.m., and that will be at the San Luis Obispo Main Library on Palmenosos.
So if I come to one of these screenings, what can I expect?
The plan for each of the evenings is, as Margaret had mentioned earlier, we'll show the same episode, Are We Crazy About Our Kids? Each screening in each community will include an informal panel of local residents or people who work in that particular community to be essentially the first to respond to the film, to give their personal reflections from their perspective in the community, and to really then kickstart a conversation, a dialogue with the rest of the people who are attending that evening. So it's about a half an hour long episode followed by perhaps 15, 20 minutes of panelists offering their initial responses, and then we will open it up for a facilitated community dialogue.
Can children come?
That's a great question. The film is not targeted toward children, but families who are interested and passionate about young children are welcome to bring theirs along. Of course, we care about kids, and if you want to bring them with you, then that's great.
And it's for kids.
Yes. Yeah. So the screening is actually for adults specifically, but if people want to bring their children along, they're welcome. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much want anyone who thinks that young children are important to their community to come out and let their voice be heard, and then also to familiarize themselves with all the aspects of this issue too, so they can know, so they can be part of the conversation.
So if I come and I see the film and I am participating in the conversation, what do I walk away with? Mm-hmm.
You walk away, first of all, with increased knowledge about a national dialogue that's, as I said earlier, gaining in momentum. We intend to ask people at each of the screenings if they're interested in being part of a continuing conversation and getting involved in civil discourse around the county's investment in children. We're looking for future opportunities, partly inspired by the conversations themselves, to play a role in decision making, both at the city and county level, and to really inspire some true change around the way that we support young children and families in this county. I'd like to also put in a plug for our partnership with the private sector and the business community, because employers play a huge role in supporting families as they take on that role as parents. There are several really forward-thinking businesses in this community who are getting out front in this notion of how to support their workforce to be able to both work and do a good job as employees and also be great parents. So we look forward to having those voices at the table and partnering with them moving forward as well.
When you talk about people getting involved as stakeholders and being part of the voting community, is there kind of a silence that happens around children?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I think in this community, there's really vocal advocates for a lot of issues. We see this with environmental issues. We see this with pets and animals. And we know that there are people who are really passionate about our young people. We know there's grandparents. We know there's parents. We know there's educators. But we also think there's people in the community who maybe haven't connected to these issues yet. So this is really our chance to start this conversation and let people become connected to something larger than themselves and express their interest and their passion for helping young children and young families. We know people are out there, and we're hoping to be able to kind of mobilize this.
Well, and I'm sure you guys have thought through a lot of this. As me no longer having children at home, the effect of having children who don't have parents that are with them after school that are unattended because they just can't be, or for children that don't have equal opportunities for education, what are some of the consequences that I'm going to incur as a result of that, even though they're not my kids?
That's a great question, and that's something that will also be addressed in this community forum. That's really why we want people to be able to come out and go to these film screenings, go to these discussions. Those kind of questions are going to be addressed at these film screenings. So if you think, well, I don't have young children, how does that affect me? Are We Crazy About Our Kids is going to tell you this is how young children impact a healthy community. Mm-hmm. This is how supporting childcare, how supporting parents are critical parts of a healthy community, regardless of whether you yourself have young children.
What do you think could have happened in the community if there was more support and advocacy for children? Some things that maybe you've been disappointed in, Wendy, that didn't happen, that maybe with more action could have.
Right. I think that this is a community that has somewhat of a false sense of prosperity and comfort. We call ourselves the happiest place in America, I believe. Mm-hmm. And for many people in this community, that's true. There are significant numbers of people, among them many of the children in our community, who are disproportionately represented in families living in poverty, who don't have the kinds of supports that we wish that they did. They don't have three square meals a day. Right. They don't have access to extracurricular activities. Their parents don't necessarily have the peer support to feel good about their roles as parents. And so I think that we as a county, we as a community, have a ways to go to develop that collective responsibility for all of us and to recognize that not all of us are living this really prosperous existence.
Are really fortunate. And you don't have to look too far in this county to find that there are individuals that are wonderful people with truly loving relationships in their families that are struggling desperately just to eat and stay warm.
That's the beauty also of parenting. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. Being a parent brings the same challenges, whether you're a mom or a dad. Both working or one person working, it can be greatly challenging. And having a support system in place and knowing where to go when you do need support and additional resources is a really important thing. And we value that in our community where we have a lot of nonprofits and we're lucky to have them here. We work very collaboratively with each other. A lot of systems are coordinated to try and bridge the gaps and make sure that no child is, falling through any kind of crack. But at the same time, it's not always geared to people living in poverty. There's a lot of parents out there, two-parent working households that are in our workforce that need ongoing support and just a better system to work through as they raise their young child.
And you're not asking someone to give up something in order to participate. Except maybe some time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. In addition, I would add something that I think we all know. This is a very expensive place to live. The cost of housing, the cost of gasoline. And so that just adds to the pressures on parents, especially when they start families and the personal finance, the family finance gets rocked at that point. And so it's important for us as a community to have the backs of young families as they get started in this new phase of their journey.
Yeah. There's a lot of parents out there that I know we shared that, we're running down putting our name on a waiting list when we're pregnant just to try and get into some sort of childcare and some sort of support so that we can go back to the job we love and, be a productive member of the community and keep the workforce going.
Well, isn't there also something that speaks to if you're going to have a well-integrated relationship between parents and children, the parents also need to feel satisfied. The parents also need to be enriched. And so, we may think of working as a takeaway from the children when it's actually an add-on for the parent. It helps them have a sense of who they are as an individual, as well as a loving parent, or as well as a wife or a husband, or partner. And those things are going to keep a balance. So the idea that this is just for the children, it's also enriching the adults.
This is all about the whole family, and I think that both the film series and the community conversations that come out of it will really shine a spotlight on that. This is really about the health of the parents as well as the health of the child, And it's a pretty powerful message.
And did you want to say something about that, Margaret?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, too, that a lot of what this discussion is going to be about is not just about working parents versus not working parents, low income versus high income. What it's really looking at is that across the board, all communities have families. They have young children. And all of these communities are benefiting from investment in early childhood education and quality child care. And so what we want to look at is this discussion to see how we can connect that to our communities, what's missing, what ideas are out there, because it's not just about what these film screenings are not just about providing facts for people to go away from, but also to inspire ideas on how we can integrate this into our community and how there might be people sitting out there that have great ideas about how we can make our communities better. And this is a chance for their voices to be heard.
Great. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX Public Radio 98.1, San Luis Obispo 91.7, Santa Ynez to Paso Robles 95.1, Lompoc 90.9, Santa Ynez 89.5, Santa Barbara, and worldwide on the web at kcbx.org. Are we spending too little where it matters the most? Today's guests, Wendy Wendt, Margaret Kinzinger-Klopfer, and Melinda Sokolowski are my guests. And we're talking about a screening that's going to be coming up for a five-film series specifically about families, and one that's going to be shown in multiple places here in San Luis Obispo County. There also will be other counties, because we've got Monterey County and we've got Santa Barbara County. So if listeners are listening from those areas, how would they go and look for maybe where they could find a screening in their area?
Yeah, there's actually a national website that's in connection with the Raising of America, so they could check on that website to see where screenings are being held. Also, some communities are not featuring any community discussions or screenings at that time. So if people feel inspired to drum up a community screening or discussion in their own community, we really would like to advocate for that. Again, the library, we feel, is a natural forum for this kind of discussion. So feel free to contact your local library if you live outside of San Luis Obispo County to kind of see if they would be interested in something like this.
That's a great idea. As we were talking about parents and children and the interrelationships, one of the things that I'm personally seeing more and more of is older parents, and now I'm talking about not necessarily parents but grandparents that are now parenting their grandchildren for one reason or another. And we do have a large community of individuals that are in that situation in this county. Can we talk a little bit about how they would also benefit here?
Sure. They would benefit not only from coming to the screening and viewing the film, but at the particular screenings, we're going to have representatives from our family resource centers. We have taken notice of the increase in grandparents caring for their children. Mm-hmm. We offer support groups to grandparents through a variety of different agencies, and we're making sure that they have a place at the table as well. So, you know, representatives from different agencies at these screenings can reach out to a group of grandparents that are, you know, raising their children and looking for more. That's the beauty of our community, because we're collaborative, and if we find a trend or we find something that's not being served, we work very hard to rally around it and bring those services to the table.
Wendy, were you going to say something?
I wanted to add, even for grandparents who are not raising their grandchildren, there's a large population of people who are retiring in this community, and I think that this is a topic that will resonate regardless of whether children are still in our homes. If you're a grandparent who remembers being a parent and cares about your grandchildren, whether they're here or in Minneapolis or in New York City, please do come to the screening, because this is really a conversation about a village raising our children and our families together. And so I encourage anyone to come and participate in the dialogue. I also wanted to piggyback on what Margaret said earlier before the last break about looking for good ideas in these conversations. Yeah. One of the things I hope, you know, this is a place that takes bold action at critical times in history. We were the first city in the country to ban smoking in public places, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we're going to be the first community in the nation to take on something that will be a true support and get noticed at the national level for families and children. I don't know what that is exactly, but please do come and be part of that conversation.
If you could design some outcome from this, ladies, you would walk away and go, that was what I was hoping for with these screenings?
I can just say from the library level, I think that from our viewpoint, what we'd like to see is that people understand that education doesn't begin when school begins. It begins at birth and even before. We want everyone in the community to understand that children are formed from a very early age by their educational experiences, the impact of early literacy, the impact of parent involvement, but also the impact of community involvement is critical to a healthy child and a healthy family. And so for people to really understand that these things are important, that education doesn't begin in kindergarten, it begins way before. So let's try and see how we can connect to resources.
And are there resources that the libraries offer that assist in that, that maybe people wouldn't be aware of?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of our resources people are pretty familiar with. If they have young children, they know about our story times that really emphasize literary skills for young children, pre-literacy skills. We have a lot of forums for families to connect. We even connect a lot of times with kids who have special needs. And also, we've been able to partner even with like the Child Care Resource Connection to provide early literacy kits in English and Spanish for child care providers to use inside of their homes if they're home-based care. There are a lot of ways that we try and connect to families and children. We also like to go out into the community a lot and meet up with, for example, Head Start parent groups and let them know about the importance of early literacy and what kind of services the library can provide. And then also to provide services for parents of young children. We have resources for providing, for example, reading instruction for illiterate parents. We connect with the Literacy Council. That's actually under the umbrella of the library. And they can teach parents how to read, which is important if you want the children to be able
Absolutely.
To read at some point as well.
Yeah. How about for you?
Well, I'm excited about a few things. One
Good.
is the business community and how can employers support their parents who are trying to return to work.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, what you're talking about in the kinds of support?
Well, our state does have the FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act, so we are protected under 12 weeks of unpaid leave, but that only applies to employers who have 50 employees or more.
Which is not the majority of employers locally.
Right. So yeah. I'm hoping that this series of screening will draw some interest from the business community, as mentioned by Wendy earlier, and for employers to just reflect on how can they support their families that are trying to return to the workforce. There's multiple ways of flexible spending plans, cafeteria plans. There's some tax benefits and incentives for employers to create better family-friendly policies around their parents who are working and trying to juggle childcare. So I'm hoping that we see some business community representatives in the audience and start a dialogue with them. And I would say that one thing that struck me by the film that I saw was the large number of children that were identified to go into special education. And because they participated in a quality early learning environment, that number dropped significantly because there was early intervention, there was early screening for those children. And they were given a positive environment to learn and grow and ended up not having to go into special ed when they reached the kindergarten age.
So they were given extra assistance and resources and support, or the parents were given extra assistance to help with their education?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, they weren't given extra support or extra education. They were just given the same quality child care and same early education as other students, but they reached a broader spectrum of children in their community. And by having that early education and early quality quality childcare, they saw that their special education enrollment dropped, but it wasn't because they were being provided extra resources. They were just reaching those families earlier, and by reaching the children earlier, they had less need for I don't mean to say a misdiagnosis of special education, but because they were able to connect to the children earlier, they had a lower enrollment in special education.
The Wendy. Episode that we're going to watch, Are We Crazy About Our Kids, the community that is most articulate about describing exactly what Margaret was just talking about was in Utah, in Salt Lake City. There's a school district there that invested quite a lot in a preschool project. They did a pretest with the children before they entered this program, and 238 of those children were anticipated for special ed enrollment given how they responded to the pretest.
Yeah.
They went through the preschool, and by the end of the preschool experience, only 11 entered special education.
From 230 to 11.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there's real power in this concept of quality early childhood education on a number of levels, as we've been talking about throughout the hour.
When we're talking about improving that and teaching it, what kinds of things were we talking about facilitating in order for that to occur? Earlier access, yes, but what is entailed in that?
Yeah, I think they're talking about earlier access, but also about valuing the teachers in these kind of communities, about valuing the child care providers as first educators, about valuing preschool educators as teachers. And so they're talking about accredited programs. They're talking about outcome-based learning. Mm-hmm. They're talking about all kinds of connections to children on a deeper level as opposed to just providing basic care.
Like custodial care.
Custodial care, precisely.
You know, there's an interesting parallel effort going on in this country that speaks to what you're talking about, Margaret, and it's about working on quality improvement in early care and education. It's a national effort, and it's taking on quite a lot of momentum in the local community as well. There's some recent funding that's come out of the California Department of Education, also First Five California, to support quality improvement efforts in early care and education, both in center-based programs, in family child care programs, and also in alternative settings where parents are their child's first teacher. So when we talk about what does quality mean, Margaret touched on a number of those indicators of quality, the teacher or adult-child interactions, the environment in the classroom or in the home, the level of family engagement in the program, the ratio of teacher to child or adult to child, the level of social and emotional engagement in the learning process, not just content ABCs, but also how do I get along with my friends on the playground? And so all of that kind of work is really taking a lot of getting a lot of attention and starting to get increasing funding to work on here as well as across the country.
It seemed like in the 80s for a little while there was a real push toward employers looking at how to support child care in larger employers and how they could incentivize parents and then we drifted away from that. We really backed away from that. And I think funding was a huge reason for it. But people were looking at just the front end cost, and this is really looking at the back end cost.
Yeah, that's such a great way of putting it. And again, this film that we're going to be screening in the community discussion is really talking about those issues. It's talking about why did we drift away from investing in families with young children? And then what is the return on investment? Again, these are not necessarily cheap programs to provide, but the return for a healthy community is well worth it. And again, that's what we're going to be talking about with this. Are We Crazy About Our Kids? The films in our communities, Los Osos, Napomo, Atascadero, Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, at their libraries, will be providing these forums for people to discuss how can we get this great return on investment for early childhood.
You know, is there any encouragement and perhaps people can't come to these? You did say that they're going to air on PBS if they have access to PBS.
That's right. We've heard from the producers of the series that the plan is to start airing on across the country and local PBS affiliates after November 1st of this year. KQED has not yet. We haven't determined yet whether they'll be filming it and at what point. But if you get excited about what you see, by all means, let the station know. And as Margaret mentioned earlier, the RaisingOfAmericaWebsite.org has some interesting information about all five episodes.
And if you weren't able to hear when and where those screenings and community discussions will be taking place, you can get more information from the First Five San Luis Obispo office and also the San Luis County Library website. It's slolibrary.org. Also has this featured on our website as well.
As does first5slo.org, F-I-R-S-T, numeral 5, S-L-O.org.
I'm Chris Kington-Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX-FM, the Central Coast Public Radio from Salinas to Ventura. If you're just joining us and you want to hear today's entire show, you can do so by logging on to the KCBX website at www.kcbx.org. At the completion of today's show, this show will be available on the website, and we have it first on the website for the next week. You can also listen to any of the archive shows for any of our local broadcasting, including Central Coast Voices, by going to our website. At the heart of today's discussion, we've been talking about a film series and discussion that's regarding the film Raising of America and its public screenings that are coming to San Luis Obispo County in October, along with panel discussions. My guests here with me today are Wendy Wendt, Executive Director for First Five San Luis Obispo County Children and Families Commission, Margaret Kinzinger-Klopfer. These names are so much fun. Youth Services Coordinator, Librarian for San Luis Obispo County Library System, and Melinda Sokolowski, Family Support Services Division Manager for Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County and First Five County Commissioner. We have about 15 minutes left in today's show and time for just a couple of calls if you want to join us at 781-3875. And Wendy, you were going to say something.
Yes, you'd asked me earlier, Chris, about sort of what our wish list is or what we hope comes out of this. And one thing I wanted to comment on is how we know how important it is to provide young families when they first come home from the hospital, when they have that first year experiencing life as parents. I want, in part, these conversations to inspire our local communities to find and fund additional ways to support those parents. We have some great programs in some of our communities that do that, that pull parents together around a common curriculum or a playgroup type environment. Parent participation through San Luis Coastal comes to mind as one of our real strong programs. There are also in South and North County two First Five funded school readiness programs in Oceano and also in the Georgia Brown neighborhood in Paso Robles that do a lot of really great work pulling parents together into communities long before their children enter school. And then the other thing I wanted to say is we have an additional partner on this series, the Center for Family Strengthening. That center, which runs something called the Parent Connection, it's a website and way of accessing resources for parent support and parent education, is a real believer in, advocate for, and supporter of parents being the best family that they can for their children starting from birth and even before. So we're really happy to partner with Center for Family Strengthening on the project.
You know, and families locally are challenged at all different socioeconomic levels. And it may be that someone is economically stable, but may live here without any relatives, may have been new to the area and not know many of the resources, and really may live in a neighborhood and not even know who their neighbors are because that particular neighborhood doesn't have that kind of community.
Yeah, and again, I think that's where the library fits into a lot of communities. We
Good
are
point.
Kind of that natural forum for families to come in and find ways to connect to other places in their community, other peoples in their community, and other families. So we're really happy to be a partner on this project. We think this is a great connection.
from the family support services groups that are working locally, that is a big part of our intake and the work that we do with families. We're maybe called in because there is suspected child abuse or a family is struggling in some way, and that's how they're introduced to our Family Resource Center or introduced to our parent education program. But we're going beyond just the parent education part. We're looking at who is supporting this family, who is part of the bigger, larger network of this child's life. And we're trying to build on that from a strength-based perspective and build the family up from where they're at and develop their parenting skills, but also make sure that when we're done working with them from a program perspective, that we're providing a warm handoff to a local support service that can provide them for years ongoing as their child ages, and making sure they're really connected to their schools, maybe even before their child is on that campus.
Yeah, even with special needs kids too, I have a grandson who's special needs kids. He was born with spina bifida, and even in that community, there's a need for people may or may not know the resources. And I know that watching the children that he's been involved with now through the years that he's been involved, he's got kids that he's known since he was 5 years old who he went to camp with. You know, they were able to do things together. It was great support for the family. It was wonderful independence for the children. There were some amazing counselors who didn't have children of their own, you know, that were a part of that because they wanted to support children. And it's made a huge, huge difference in his life. So, you know, if I had a wish, it's not only that people would come out and look and listen and talk, but if they can't go to the screening, maybe these are conversations that can be started in people's living rooms, you know, with their neighborhoods of how do we as neighbors, who are your kids, who are my kids, and how can we support one another?
That's right. As individuals, we have all sorts of opportunities to add our voice to the community conversation, whether it's at a public library screening or like you said, in your home. I wanted to pick up, Chris, also on something you said about children, families with children with special needs, and I would highly encourage families with that circumstance to come to these screenings. There's a lot to be talked about in the context of early childhood and support for families whose children are coping with a special need and living with special needs. There's also in the context of quality care and education, there's a lot going on these days to talk about inclusion and inclusive practices within
exactly.
early childhood education. In fact, I'm going to put in a little plug while we're talking about
Absolutely.
It. There's a conference coming up at the end of October. If you're interested, contact the San Luis Obispo County Office of Education. It's called Oceans of Opportunity. We are participating in a virtual way in a conference that's out of Santa Clara County Office of Education, and the strands that we'll be pulling in a virtual web-based way are all focused on early childhood and inclusion. So October 29th and 30th, contact the County Office of Education for San Luis Obispo.
And the inclusion benefits not only the child of special needs, it really benefits children who don't have those special needs, but the the families learn from one another. Yeah,
that's right.
Were you gonna mention something?
Well, I'm looking up the dates right now. I apologize, but we do have a parent institute coming up. It's going to be hosted at Napomo High School in South County, and this is really born out of a group of collaborative partners coming together and recognizing that they want to bring parents out, not just the service providers to have these discussions, but the actual parents to participate.
So if somebody wanted to find out more about that, where would they go or who would they call?
Contact Napomo High School. And okay. I want to say it's tomorrow. No, is it Sunday? Anyway, we don't know the date, but contact Napomo High School regarding the Parent Institute. It's in South County, but it's open to parents from throughout San Luis Obispo County, and there are sessions both in English and in Spanish, both in early childhood as well as in K-12 topics for parents.
So we've got about 7 minutes. I want to make sure that we cover areas that you guys wanted to bring up.
I'd just like to repeat again the libraries that are hosting these screenings and community discussions. They'll be held at Los Osos Library, Napomo, Atascadero, Paso Robles, and San Luis Obispo. And to find out dates and times, you can check our website. It's slolibrary.org.
I just got late breaking news on the Napomo Parent Institute. It is going to be held Saturday, September 19th. So 2 days from now, contact Napomo High School for more information.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I wanted you to read a quote that you had.
Well, I just thought that this whole, the interest in children, the interest in early childhood education, but also the interest in community discussion is becoming such an issue nationwide. And this week, Time Magazine, their entire issue is dedicated to the importance of having conversation. One of their lead articles was, "Can We Save Conversation?" which I think is what we're really talking about. There was a quote from it that said, "True conversation, the analog kind, face-to-face, ideally over food and drinks, is perhaps the least efficient form of communication. It requires the patience to listen and the courage to learn, to be surprised, to arrive at a conclusion you'd never have foreseen when you set out from your home harbors. And it is fueled by the kind of questions you wouldn't normally think to ask." That's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about conversation face-to-face to get questions and maybe some answers about the importance of investing in young children.
We started, Wendy, with the Bill of Rights. Let's for children. Why don't we end with that?
Okay, that sounds good. I'm inspired by Margaret quoting from a good source. I'm going to quote from our Children's Bill of Rights. This is how it launches. "As the adults of San Luis Obispo County, one of our greatest hopes is that our children grow up with healthy minds, bodies, and spirits that enable them to maximize their potential. We collectively pledge to work together towards this vision."
Excellent. Excellent. And again, if you remind people, these start in October.
Yeah, the first film screening and panel discussion will be Tuesday, October 6th at 5 p.m. at the Los Osos Library. And again, they'll be held at 5 libraries throughout our community all the way through November 18th. And you can check the website slolibrary.org to get dates, times, and locations.
And if people want more information about childcare and assistance with childcare or to find a childcare provider?
Sure. The Community Action Partnership has a program dedicated to childcare called Childcare Resource Connection. And our website is www.capslo.org.
Okay, fantastic.
And as long as we're sharing websites, please. The First Five website, which also has information about the Children's Bill of Rights as well as the upcoming series, is www.firstfiveslo.org. That's FIRST, numeral 5SLO.org.
I want to thank my guests this afternoon, Wendy Wendt, Margaret Kensinger-Klopfer, and Melinda Sokolowski, and everyone who called in to give us information today. And thank you for calling back twice, by the way, to give us both the date and the place and the time for the Napomo meeting. And Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities, San Luis Obispo Community Foundation, in collaboration with KCBX. You can join host Fred Monroe next week and his guest, Joshua Erdman, SoftTech President and Senior Consultant at Techtegrity, Stuart Morse, Vice President of SoftTech and Director of Operations for OpenLine, and Shane Wendell, the founder of Slow Robotics, in a discussion about the importance of robots and robotics. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices. See you next week.